friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
The Guardians play this rest of the week against Kansas City. It's a 6:40 start today, 6:40 tomorrow, and then 7:15 after that. There he is. Anthony Kastrovitz is on the fan hotline. Hello, Anthony Kastrovitz from MLB.com.
Anthony.
Hello, boys. I thought you were going to have me on to talk about the Ohio Bobcats getting ready to dismantle the Buckeyes this weekend.
They're coming off. Hey, that's a nice win last week over West Virginia, isn't it?
They played well.
You know it. You know it. I think this is a trap of a game for the Buckeyes.
Well, if they're going to leave the MAC, they got to start playing bigger teams. So there you go.
Are they leaving the MAC? Yeah. Break the news.
I have no idea. I don't want them to. I mean, I'm a MAC guy.
That's right.
Through and through. I support the best conference in college sports.
The biggest conference in the state of Ohio, as far as teams having teams from Ohio, right? Tell me another conference. Division One, I should say.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. I'm going to get my foot out of my mouth on that
one. We're covering the important stuff here, yeah.
That is true. So I've been saying this. The Guardians are like when you were a little kid and you have a tooth that's just kind of hanging on. There's a couple strands that are keeping it attached. They're not letting that tooth go, are they?
It's funny you say that. I was talking to my 7-year-old this morning about her wiggly, jiggly teeth.
She's yes.
Going on. Is that kind of the same thing?
Well, the question is... do you want to take a door and put a string to the knob and then put it up to the tooth if you're a Guardians fan?
No, I wouldn't do that to her or to them. You might as well, hold on and hope that it'd be fun if those last three games are at home against the Rangers. It'd be fun if those have some playoff implications for both clubs. It would be kind of fun to watch. But I think they'd still be in it. At this point, obviously, as always in a situation like this, it says as much about the team you're chasing as it does about yourself. But, negative run differential for the Guards, but they keep finding a way here of late. It was a great series against Tampa Bay and then a great win last night. Slade Ciccone was terrific. I like that guy a lot. I think he's learned a lot in the system and, just a really good teammate. I enjoyed his post game where he was really pointing out some of the great defense that he had going for him as well. So, it's interesting, right? I mean, I think there's still like some very high level, when we look back at this year at the end of the season and in the off season, I mean, there's some big questions to be asked and answered here when it comes to team construction and, where their faults are and where they've fallen short, both, from a spending standpoint and a development standpoint. But, they're playing meaningful baseball in September. You got to give them credit for that.
Anthony, they clearly need, and I don't want to look too far ahead, but let's do it anyway. They clearly need two, maybe three more bats. And along with bats, I would like to just say everyday players. Do they have those guys?
No, no doubt.
Do they have those guys ready to go? And if not, do you think there's any chance they go out and acquire guys like that?
It's going to be interesting because, first of all, history tells us they're not going to acquire those guys. I don't know. How I could say that with a straight face, that you can expect them to go out and do that. I think the time to do that was last year, coming off the ALCS, and they had prospects who, their system is strong. It's weird to say this too, because their system is strong in the position player side. We're not accustomed to that because this has been an organization that's been all about developing pitching. I think if anything, if they were to go out and make some meaningful investments this winter, I think you're maybe, better situated to do that on the pitching side, just because that's where their depth is really questionable at the moment. And, that's a risk because you don't know what these guys are going to be, the Bazanas and DeLauder, if he can stay healthy, that's a big question mark right there. But it is their strength. It is like they could have some guys who pop in the not too distant future, and that would be more on the position player side than the pitching side. But it's hard to know your own timetable. I think that's maybe one great knock on this team. It's not been good at knowing its own timetable, at forecasting its own timetable. Like contention has kind of like caught them by surprise in recent years, including last year, most notably. they didn't expect to go to the LCS, and lo and behold, they did, and they didn't seize the moment, you know, last winter. And now here you are with a negative run differential and hoping things break exactly right in these last couple of weeks to maybe sneak into a playoff spot.
Can they do it? Like, what? I look, you know, last night they jump over the Royals. That's good. They've jumped over the Rays. They've already jumped over two teams. And, you know, the Rangers are still on the schedule down the road. There's a part of me that just doesn't want to give up.
I'm not just saying this because they're in a clubhouse when they were here Labor Day weekend, and they've got a lot of good ball players. They should.
Hey, Anthony, I think we're going to call you back because I think we had some sunspots here. Some solar rays are interrupting our thing. Well,
speak now.
All right, now try it.
We'll call you back.
All right, we're going to call you right back. All right, he's Anthony Castrovitz from MLB.com. He's one of us, so he gets it. We all kind of get it. We want to make sure you can hear everything he has to say. Again, the Guardians sitting at 73-70, 2.5 back on that wild card spot. They play the Rangers. Wouldn't it be great if it came down to that final series against the Rangers?
It would be great.
Really super exciting.
It would be great if they wrapped it up before that, Andy.
No, as far as excitement's concerned, I mean,
that'd be nice.
There's a little bit of doubt. I think it's more about the Mariners at this point. Is he back? All right, let's give him another shot. Hang on.
This, you got me?
Yeah, there now we got you. There you go. That's good. All right. Okay. All right, so let's finish that thought. I just don't see any of these teams. I think Seattle's a pretty good team. They're just weird. They're a weird team. But you could say the same thing about the Guardians. Can the Guardians get there? And now he's completely gone.
This isn't going well.
MLB.com
needs better phones.
He's almost there. You want to give one more shot? All right, we'll give it one more shot. They're getting back. Maybe somebody from Baltimore is running the lines on me right now. What do you think?
A lot to be said for phones that are actually attached to wires.
What is that? What's that? Seriously, when's the last time you used a phone that was attached to a wire?
Been a while.
I can't remember.
Been a while.
And it wasn't connected to the internet?
Been a while.
All right, here we go. We believe this time.
All right.
We believe.
You got me.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
This has been bizarre because you guys sound great to me. And quite frankly, I sound great to myself. So I don't know what's happening here.
Something in the line, my friend. In the line.
Anyway, to answer your question.
Yes.
The Guardians have to win something like 70% of the remaining games. It's not impossible. It's just, you know, you need the Mariners to play something like 500 ball while you play better baseball. I mean, that's the math. The Mariners are just a really good team that for some reason, like a really good collection of players, I should say, that for some reason have not added up to the sum of their parts. I thought they were going to run away with the AL West in the second, you know, last couple months. I thought they were going to go on a surge, and then lo and behold, they're just kind of faltering. So I don't know. I mean, it's a lot of things have to break right, obviously, for Cleveland.
What do you think of Cade Smith in his audition as closer?
That guy has every tool you need to be a great closer. Long-term, he'll go through things that come with adjusting to that role. I mean, everybody does, but it's rare for a player to just kind of seize that position and take off running. But, I mean, you know, it's an awful situation with Emmanuel Clase and that whole thing, but at least you have somebody there who is a no-brainer. In terms of stuff and demeanor and everything to really thrive in that role long term.
I know the season's not over, but the job that Stephen Vogt's done here, because this has been a roller coaster at the end.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's exceeded the sum of his parts in terms of this roster for 2 years running, so you got to give him credit for that. You can always pick apart a manager, even the best of them. But he's obviously very good at relating to these guys. He's obviously very good at putting them in the right position. And I'm sure with the input of the front office as well, at putting guys in the right position to, you know, maximize what's at their disposal. I mean, we were just talking. I mean, they don't have much in the way of everyday players. They just don't. They got Jose Ramirez. They got Stephen Kwan. And they have, you know, he hates talking about platoons or using platoons or whatever, but that's what he does. That's what they do. They platoon all over the place. And,
again, I have issues with just the general construction of the roster. I don't have issues with how Steven Vogt deploys it.
Kyle Manzardo an everyday player for you?
I think he can be. You know, I like that guy a lot. I just like his swing. I think that he is an intelligent hitter who's probably, you know, I'm sure he's learning things. You know he is from this experience this year and getting, you know, some opportunities against lefties. And I think he can be an everyday player. Yes, he's one of the very few guys, you know, in that collection of, you know, 20 somethings that I look at and go, yeah, that could be a guy. That could be a guy who's not an all-star, maybe not a, you know, MVP type, but just a really solid regular. I could see that for him.
Something weird has gone on here for me. They bring up George Valera.
Yeah.
George has been so highly touted for so long in the last 2 years. He's been injured, dinged up, didn't do much in the minors, blah, blah, blah. Anthony, he looks pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, do you give him a chance to win a job next year? You know, I doubt you're bringing back Lane Thomas. Nobody you just drafted is going to be ready. It still screams to me you need an outfielder. There's Nolan Jones. He looks like a ball player. He doesn't hit like one as often as we'd like.
Right.
I just wonder, are you going to keep shuffling through these guys and hope you get lucky, or are you going to go out and get somebody?
I mean, they need to go out and get somebody.
They do, don't they?
I just don't think they will. So, yeah, show me George Valera. I mean, no offense to Nolan Jones, but we've seen that experiment at a pretty large measure of at-bats, you know, for this season. And I'd rather, you know, it's tough because you're in contention, but you still, I think you have to treat it with more of a developmental mindset than a contention mindset. I really do. And that means playing Valera. He's here. Let's see what you got, because you have to go into the winter with some idea of what you have. So that's the way I would play it, but you know, I don't draw the lineups up.
Who do you like all the way here? American League, National League.
Oh my gosh. I was actually just working on that.
I had a feeling you
favorite
would be.
On the lack of World Series favorites this year is really pointed. You know, you can always say that in baseball, anything can happen, blah, 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 blah. But I think we got like 80 points separating in winning percentage. We have like 80 points separating the top playoff team currently, the Brewers, from the bottom playoff team currently, which is the Mariners. We're not going to have a 100-win team. That's the second year in a row we won't have a 100-win team. But that's only happened twice since 2014 or 15. Yeah. So there's no super teams. You know, the Dodgers were supposed to be, but they haven't played like it. And, you know, so I really like the Phillies, but only if Trey Turner is healthy. And right now he's not. They hope to have him back for October. And you know, it's weird because we're just talking about it, but I actually really like the Mariners. They just haven't done it. They don't pitch very well on the road. So I don't know. The American League is wide open to me. There's just no great teams. It's pretty, I think Toronto could, Shane Bieber is maybe the biggest X factor in the postseason. He'll throw again tonight and we'll see how, you know, he finished the season, but he's a huge X factor in the playoff field, I think.
I look at this rotation and I don't see Corey Kluber, but I wonder if one of these guys could develop. Gavin Williams seems like the closest thing to me, but I like these young guys in the rotation, including Joey Cantillo. Is there one that jumps off the page to you?
Yeah, I mean, Gavin Williams has this stuff. It's just, he's got to stop walking people, you know, on measure. And so to be that dude, I mean, that's what it would take for him. But I do like him a lot. I mean, I think he's taken enormous steps this year. And so you don't have to squint too hard to see him being a frontline starter. But yeah, it's just about command. It's about limiting walks. That'll be the next step for him. But he's the one for me. You know, beyond that, I don't know that I see an ace in the making. I see some really good talent, but that's why it's strange to see them in this position where they don't have that next wave coming. And so if these guys get hurt or are just this, you know, if they're just kind of like, you know, good, solid mid-rotation guys, I mean, how are they going to piece together an elite rotation? It's going to be really difficult to do.
Is Joey Cantillo more than a mid-rotation guy?
Yeah, you know, I think he can be. I think he can be. You know, I like him a lot. I just, I feel about him the way I feel about the group in general. Like, you know, the upside is probably more limited than we're accustomed, than we were spoiled here for a very long time. Yeah. Where it's like they bring up one guy and another and like, oh, he turns into a Cy Young type, you know, Corey Kluber, Shane Bieber, they develop these guys. And, you know, Tanner Bivey kind of wore that label with the extension and everything. I don't think he's that. I think he's more of a mid rotation type, which is fine. I mean, you got to have those guys, but you know, in their system right now, you can't look at it and say they're going to have a guy come up and all of a sudden be a Cy Young type. I just don't see that.
All right, last question for me. For them to make the playoffs, they have to do what outside of winning series? What's got to happen?
Put points on the board, you know. Yeah. They struggle to do that with consistency, but we have seen some they strung some, you know, crooked number innings here lately. That series against the Rays and then last night, of course. Yeah, that's what it always comes down to for them. It's just exceeding our expectations offensively. Let's put it that way.
Fair enough. Let's see if they can get a little bit better offensively and make a run at this thing too. Cause it's kind of fun cause they keep us hanging on and I'm good with it. I'm good with that.
Yeah. I mean, again, like, hey, September baseball, it beats a guy watching a guy miss kicks, you know, I'd rather watch September baseball.
Wow.
Thank you, Anthony. Wow.
See you guys.
Goodbye. Anthony Kastrovitz, MLB.com.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. You got three against Kansas City through Thursday. Thursday night's game is at 7:15, the other two at 6:40. Then the Guardians will stay home. Three games against the White Sox. Man, it'd be nice to see them make a little bit of hay over these next six games. Then they go off to Detroit for three, at Minnesota for four. Detroit comes here from September 23rd to the 25th. And then, man, could be a gigantic series to end the year here at home. If they can maintain where they're at, and we'll see what happens with Seattle. Texas is the last three games of the year. Seattle's probably loving that. September 26th, 27th, 28th, 7-10, 6-10, 3-10. Sunday the 28th. Jeff, have they got it in them to make a run here? Finish this thing off?
Why not?
I think they do, too.
Do I expect it to happen? No, but why not? I mean, the numbers tell you that they're not done. So go for it. You know, the lineup might tell you they're done. Except guess what? They keep winning enough games to hang in there. I mean, last night was a fun game.
Yeah, Dan, I'm kind of surprised. You know, they scored 10 runs. I'm surprised you didn't say to me, I wish they would have saved some for today. No comment? No comment!
Yeah, that wasn't worth a comment.
He went to go open up his microphone. He hit the button and just said, I'm done. I'm out. Oh, no. We're not getting Dan the clip guy now. Is that what you're going to be? I can smell it. I smell it coming. What's been the best part of this, Jeff? I mean, it's been weird because there have been
meaningful baseball in September. It's as simple as that. Simple as that, Andy. Don't you think?
Yeah. To be honest with you, you're right. I can't argue that.
It's been the best part of this. I agree with Anthony completely. I keep looking at the position players, and I hate that Stephen Vogt platoons as much as he platoons. If there's any chance that anybody could develop into an everyday player, they're not getting that chance. I wish we had had Kyle Manzardo getting more at-bats all season long. Kyle looks like a keeper. You know, I would think that he is in the lineup for 600 plate appearances next year between DH and first base. And I would also really find out if he can play the outfield. My guess is he can't. Because if he could, we'd probably be seeing him out there a little bit, but you never know. And then, I hate to say this, I keep looking at this year's draft class and thinking, can a couple of you guys get here really fast? And the answer to that is probably no. You know, maybe next year, one guy could pop. Maybe it's Bizana. You know, then who are you moving away from? Is it going to be Rocchio or is it going to be Gabe Arias?
It's a good question.
It's going to be one or the other. I mean, there's no question Bizana's your second baseman. Maybe as soon as the beginning of next season.
I don't know, can either one of those guys play outfield? That's all that really matters.
Arias has.
Yeah, I know.
Does he hit enough to play the outfield or does he just add to the mess? Do you keep Stephen Kwan? Do you trade Stephen? You know, I know Stephen is a pretty good hitter. But a lot of his numbers aren't what you would want from a corner outfielder.
Let's just think about this for a second. Is having an unsettled roster the plan? Has it been the plan for a while?
If it is, it's not a good one.
Made the playoffs last year. Almost.
Yeah. Almost. Woulda, shoulda, coulda.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, Andy, having an unsettled roster has been beneficial.
No, it hasn't. Well, if you had had a settled roster, maybe you'd have won the thing. I mean, you have starters. Why do guys start? Because they're good. Why don't guys start? Why do they platoon? Because you don't have a starter. If you have somebody who's not, I mean, if you have to platoon somebody, then he's not starting caliber. Sorry, I'm going to go Mike Hargrove on you on this. Starters are starters for a reason. Why would you take Omar out and play Alvaro Espinoza?
See,
you wouldn't do that.
But that's not where we are in the game right now.
Yeah, I know. That's my point. I mean, Andy, they don't have starting caliber position players at too many spots.
I mean,
third base.
Jeff, since 2016, field, they've made the playoffs, what, six times?
First base, DH. Well, that's a different.
Is making
those are different
the playoffs,
teams, Andy.
Yeah, but
the,
I mean,
the
they've always
Vogt
kind
teams
of been,
have been atrocious for position players.
But even with Tito, I mean, I don't think Tito ever wanted to do it, but I mean, they were still platooning some spots every once in a while.
They had better position players, I would make the argument.
Hmm. Charles.
I mean, you're not going to platoon Andres Jimenez. You're not platooning Josh Naylor very much in his later years here.
Yep, my bad. Griff is in Columbus. Hi, Griff.
Hello, Griff.
Hey, gentlemen, thanks for keeping on beating the drum for the Guardians here. I think we're going to be in it till the end. And I wanted to just add a little bit, maybe push back a little bit on Jeff on the everyday player front. When it comes to Manzardo, I feel he's too suspect of first base. And Kafis has shown a lot more promise there. I don't think Kafis is the right fielder of the future, but I believe he can become the first baseman of the future. But then that leads to what do we do with David Fry? Is he an everyday player with this elbow issue or the Tommy John issue?
Griff, I think you're missing the key name there, and it's Ralph Velasquez.
Okay.
He's in Double-A right now, and I think they drafted Ralph to be an everyday player, and he's playing first base. So I think CJ is going to have to learn to play the outfield even better than he already has. I think he's done a nice job, and I think maybe Manzardo's your DH.
Well, then what do we do with Valera? I thought he was going to get the shot. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, we have an abundance of Triple-A talent trying to play big league right field.
Or you put somebody in left field and you trade Stephen Kwan.
Griff, thank you. Brian is in Ravenna. Hey,
Brian.
How you doing?
Good, good. How about you?
Good. I love your guys' show, man. I've been listening for years. Huge baseball fan, Browns fan, all that.
Awesome.
Thanks, Brian.
But I went to a local school here, Walsh Chesler, a pretty big powerhouse baseball school. I started there for 4 years at shortstop, right? And I love the Guardians, Omar and Carlos are my idols. But it's just watching these two middle infielders. Any good team, you have to have a solid duo up the middle. Any good baseball team, and we just don't have it. Neither one of them. I don't believe in Rocchio or Arias, and I hate to say that because Arias is playing his butt off a little bit, and Rocchio has been hitting. But we even saw it in the playoffs last year. Rocchio was dropping pop-ups, missing easy ground balls. He's doing it again this year. Sometimes I just think the pressure gets to him a little bit much, and we definitely need Bazzano to come up. I heard you guys say his name, and it gets me excited to think of that. And I think he needs to be up sooner than later. I thought that if we wanted to make a run towards the end, like we're trying to do now, get the fans fired up, get the team fired up maybe, bring his butt up now. And why not?
Well, we talked about it. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate that.
Thanks, Brian. If he's not ready, it's not worth bringing him up in September and having him be overmatched. You've got two guys up now. I would think that they're going to continue to give Valera some at-bats and use an extra arm. And that said, Bazzano can't get here soon enough. And what I mean by that is he's got to be ready. But, man, he's got to be ready fast. They need him on this team next year, playing at the level they think he's going to play at, Andy. This team, this lineup screams for productive players. And, you know, I love the idea of Nolan Jones. Love the idea. Every time he steps to the plate, I think, all right, Nolan smashed something. And he's been hitting a little better lately. I wonder if he's put himself in position to compete for a job next year. The problem you have here is you have lots of questions, and the answer to every question is, well, he could compete for the job. That's what you got to try to avoid, is you don't need to compete for a job. Why? Because you got a stud right there playing it. That's the idea.
I'm just wondering if, you know, because we had talked about Bizana coming up before, and I don't know. You know, it's not like what's Columbus is. I'm just trying to think. In this half of the season, they're not doing too great in the standings. I don't know. I would, if the opportunity was there, I'd bring him up now. I mean, and we've talked about that, you know, over and over and over again. I don't know. Hopefully we see him before the end of the season, but I would think that someone would have to be injured for them to bring him up. All right. We've got NFL rapid fire coming up in a little bit too. And, you know, we're still sitting here talking about the Guardians, and I know you want to too. So let's continue on with that. I do want to go back, though, to something Mary Kay Cabot said about the kicking situation. So we're going to get in all that straight ahead. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
We were talking a little bit about the Guardians. I know some folks wanted to chime in about, you know, the hope that you maybe still have a little bit of hope about what's going on with this team. Cap is in Strongsville. Hey, Cap.
Hey, guys. Great sports talk. It's good to hear some baseball. Just a couple takes.
Sure.
I think the front office, I think, really held back Manzardo with his development because last year, at the end of the season, he should have been sent to Arizona playing first base for the next 6 months until the season opened. I think that's the only thing that has held him back from being a bona fide starter, just his lack of playing time at that position, because I think that's where he's got to end up.
Yep, the bat's there.
I think Bizana's got to be playing the outfield the same way, because I don't think he's going to be I don't think he's going to be any better than Rocchio. I think Rocchio is the best second baseman we've had. If you eliminate Jimenez, because he really wasn't here that long, since Sandy Alomar at second base. So
Robbie,
I think Zana's got to be playing somewhere in the outfield where we need help. That's what I think they're going to do.
Okay. Thanks, Cap. Appreciate it. Cap checking in from Strongsville.
There's been some thought that Bizana might be able to play outfield.
They think everyone can play outfield. What's the difference?
Well, Andy, that's not far from the truth, is it?
Can you catch a fly ball? It's easier than taking a ground ball in the infield. All right.
Well, you know what, Andy? If Travis Bizana can go to center field.
If he owns a cup, maybe he could be a catcher.
If Travis Bizana can go to center field and be competent defensively, why not? Why not? You know, the one thing I wonder about, does he have enough speed to play center field? I don't know the answer to that. I wonder, but
it's also his arm too.
Yeah, I know.
True.
Yeah, there's a reason guys are at second base sometimes.
That makes sense. Although number one overall pick should have an arm, don't you think?
Well, not if you didn't draft him to be a center fielder.
Do you want me to go full blown Les Levine on you there?
Sure.
You'd hope they have two.
Oh. Go ahead. You can do it. Thank you.
Listen, you could have, and this is not the wheel of regret.
Let's take two more.
You could have had Nick Kurtz, who's already been impactful at the major league level.
Yep.
Could have had Jack Caglione, who looks like he's going to be a hitter for the Kansas City Royals in town.
Yeah, we'll see.
First base. I mean, there are some guys in that draft who are some pitchers as well. And you drafted Bizana number one. You better know what you have. You better not have screwed up because you lucked into that pick. And I don't care where he plays. He needs to have a really good 5 to 7 year run here with the Guardians as a starter, impactful starter at some position, whether it be second, whether it be left, whether it be center. You know, that's when I truly wonder about Stephen Kwan and his future here. Maybe I shouldn't. I like Stephen. I think he's a good ball player. I also know he doesn't have a bat that, you know, is going to knock down the fences. And when you play a corner outfield spot, that's usually what you want. They seem really reluctant to move him to center field. Maybe it's because they don't like his arm in center field. Maybe it's because they don't like his legs in center field. They don't think that, you know, his legs will stay healthy if he's playing center field. But to me, Steven screams center field because you usually want a more powerful, impactful bat in a corner spot.
I'll buy it. Jeff, just to put a reference point on our next caller, he's just an hour and 45 minutes away from Beaumont. He is in the Woodlands, Texas.
Oh, it's right outside of Houston.
Hi, Joe. North of Houston.
Nice neighborhood, Joe.
Thank you. Hey, I just wanted to reiterate what you guys were saying about the substitution. I don't agree with it at all. We had the opportunity with two great contact hitters. Didn't hit with power, but they always moved the runners, got on base, played whatever position that the manager wanted, and we lost Ernie Clement and Tyler Freeman. If both of those guys are flourishing at everyday positions, batting about 280 with 30 to about 50 RBIs this year.
I'm not going to lose a whole lot of sleep over Tyler or Ernie. And Joe, you're right. They've both done a nice job. I would have traded Tyler Freeman for a chance to bring Nolan Jones back and see what you have. I would have done that because they have a ton of middle infielders. And right now, Tyler he's got two home runs and he's hitting 281. Would that be an improvement here? Yeah, maybe. Except where would you play him here, Joe, right now? Center?
Well, he was playing outfield before they left. He moved from second base shortstop going through the minor leagues.
Yes, he
and
did.
And they put him in outfield.
And he did a nice job last year. And he did a nice job.
And then you let him go for a possible power hitter that, again, still hasn't done that. And he's strictly a lefty. He's being platooned as a left-handed hitter versus Tyler Freeland. Put the ball in play.
I know, but we have a lot of guys who can put the ball in play. I got to be honest. I'm not going to lose any sleep that they gave up Tyler Freeman to bring in Nolan Jones to take a chance at it. I'm just not. I think they've got a lot of guys like Tyler Freeman. One of them's named Darius. One of them's named Schneeman. One of them's named Rocchio. You got a lot of those guys.
Yeah. Thank you for the phone call,
Sam. You don't have a lot of guys who are 6'6 with potential. Nolan Jones hasn't reached that potential.
Hey, Sam. Sam in Cleveland.
I'll make it quick. Andy, I feel like you're making excuses by them not having a set roster. I mean, it's becoming...
I'm not making any. I'm just like, it doesn't... I just said that, and I'm not making an excuse. My point was, do you think the front office thinks this is the way to win? I'm not. I hate it. Well, I'd rather have nine guys play every day, same thing, and then put somebody in when you need a break. I'm down with that.
I mean, basically the front office is telling you they don't care about breaking the 76 years and counting streak. Think about it. Think how close they are by getting a wild card spot, and they are on the brink of having the lowest team batting average in franchise history. They're two out in the loss column for a wild card spot, mm-hmm. and they didn't add one person. Not one. Not a relief arm. Just nothing. And I get it that Ortiz and Class A might have potentially really screwed a lot of things up, but I mean, being so close to get in, because it just seems like a lot of the talking points are just get in. And they didn't do anything to help to get in. And I think that a lot of the fans just sit there and say, yeah, even if they get in, they're not going to do anything because they don't care.
Sam, I understand what you're saying. I see that. I understand that. I think that goes through everybody's mind. But, the players who are still there, it's not like I don't want them to get in. I want them to get in. And for the fans, I want them to have the opportunity to watch a playoff game here and say, hey, we made it to the postseason.
When the trade deadline came, my stance was, and I haven't changed from that, I didn't think this team, the way it's built right now, was worth the investment of giving up future prospects that you might have really thought have a high ceiling just for a guy to come in and fill a hole. I didn't think you were going to get the type of talent that you would really need to bring back to make a huge difference on this team.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got in and you got knocked out in the first round and you gave up a guy, Junior Caminero, even though you wouldn't have given him up, he went in the draft years ago to Tampa. But look at what a stud that guy is. I wouldn't want to give up a prospect to invest in this team because I don't think this team is ready to win big. But I do think it's knocking on the door. I think it needs 2 to 4 position players, Andy, who you just put in the lineup every day and you go about your business. And they don't have that. I mean, they don't have that. They don't. They have it at third base. They have it at left field. And I think you have it at DH in Manzardo. Other than that, there's nobody who I think, oh, he's not in the lineup today? Nobody.
No, it's weird because I used to feel that way about Santana, just thinking, you know, here's a professional hitter. And well, then they let Santana go. And then, but now I understand why you
Carlos was Carlos did okay this year.
Yeah.
But he clearly wasn't the same player he's been in the past.
True.
Can't expect him to be.
No. Doug is in Chardon. Hey, Doug.
Doug.
Yeah, real quick here. I know, Nolan Jones, by the way, Nolan Jones, just 2 years ago, was ranked the 96th best baseball player by MLB. But in the major leagues, which is really kind of hard to believe because he's had a hard year. And imagine the Indians or the Tribes, excuse me, the Guardians, paying him if he goes to arbitration. But what I really called to say was, listen to Tom Hamilton. Tom Hamilton has some really good insights every once in a while. And last night...
No, he has good insights almost every game. Just listen.
Yes, he
always
does.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. But last night he said that the Guardians had played outstanding ball despite... And he called it like this, the betrayal of Ortiz and Clase. He called it a betrayal. And just because the way he said it, I thought to myself, boy, you're never going to see these two guys ever again in a Guardians uniform.
Doug, thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of people that would argue that point. I mean, it is interesting that they've been able to battle through this. They've been able to battle through, you know, losing two guys like that in, like, you know, the worst thing you can do in baseball is what they're accused of. And their paid leave is extended. I mean, I think we all want to give someone a chance, but, man, it's
let me correct myself.
Brutal to do that to your own team. If they did do it, I'm just trying to be fair.
Guardians didn't lose Caminero in the draft. They traded him away for a pitcher who didn't work here but has gone on to do other things, Tobias Harris. But and he was a really young kid. You know, you weren't thinking that the guy was going to become what he's become. But you can't, if you're this organization and you're not developing position players, you can't miss on guys like that.
What do you got?
A little bit of news before we head to break. Multiple reports. The 49ers are waiving kicker Jake Moody. Jake Moody has been waived by the San Francisco 49ers, according to multiple reports.
You're not going to play it?
You're not going to play it, Dan?
You're not going to play it? I know we're setting you up for...
Nice job, you kicker! Nice job!
That wasn't
that's
the one.
Not what either one of us thought the same thing. Maybe we'll play it when we come back. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
That's funny.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.